Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
The unique sounds of flamenco fill the air. The guitarists, dancers, and singers who make up the dance company headed by Paco Peña, who is considered one of the finest flamenco guitarists in the world, and the one who has transformed the landscape of this ancient Spanish art form. He is our guest today here on Crossover. It's wonderful to speak with you, and I guess I have a lot of questions to ask you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you when you come to Philadelphia.
Oh, well, yes, obviously, to see the show is I mean, that's the real thing.
Yes, well, I wanted to ask you, is it the real thing in terms of, I read up a little bit on flamenco. I love it. It's wonderful. And I want to say something, and I hope you won't be offended, but they say the most important person is really the cantaore, the guy that sings, right?
Well, this is true. The thing is that when you say they say...
It is said, I guess.
It is said, of course. Anyone who is inside the flamenco world will appreciate the inspiration and the message and the importance of what the flamenco singer has to say, because culturally it is really the initial flamenco appears as something distinct through the flamenco voice, you know, through somebody singing and explaining or saying what that person feels about his surroundings, his life, and so on. So it is true that it provides the most essential inspiration for all artists within flamenco. That is true, yeah.
Now, again, I did some research, and I know this is very unclear to me. There is something called duende.
Yeah.
Nobody can really explain that. What is it? Is it a feeling? Is it an understanding of an emotional experience? What is it?
Well, it is, yes. I mean, you said it nicely, too. The thing is that it's really not something that we talk very much about. It is, I tell you what it is. It's when there is a commitment in an artist to produce the optimum, the most important expression of his artistry or her artistry, there is that process of striving to get the best. And when the best appears, there is the communication with that person or those people who are also experiencing it from the outside. And that means that the performer or the person doing the thing is in communion with that person receiving it. And when that happens, in an optimum, in a special quality, then something appears, something happens, which is what people call duende, which is kind of the
soul of it.
Yes, the spirit of what one is trying to do with this art. But I actually feel that can appear with any art.
Exactly.
I think art, obviously, is, it's got that indescribable quality that touches people. And I think all arts have the potential to get to that point, not only flamenco, you know.
Yes, I guess there is this attitude towards the art of flamenco by lovers or even creators of flamenco that it's very special, and I suppose they take possession of that themselves. I guess it's we as musicians.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, the truth is that the word comes from that, from flamenco, or it is really used in describing that quality within the flamenco experience. But the quality can be called anything, really. Mm. And it doesn't have to be called duende. But that special moment of communion between the creation of art and the appreciation of art in this ultimate way, I think something happens which can be called duende or whatever.
Yes, it's really it. The message comes through, certainly. Now, you have, have incorporated flamenco into many other genres. I mean, you played jazz as well.
Well, not very well. Not really. I mean, it's a different world, and it's a world that I love and appreciate so strongly that I couldn't possibly pretend to play it. It's just that sometimes I've been linked with other, you know, musicians that I love. For example, Joe Pass.
Oh,
I've been traveling and playing with Joe Pass, and bits where there were moments when we did bits together, but I really cannot pretend to play jazz. You know, it's another world, and a world that I respect very strongly.
Yes, and I imagine there's part of flamenco that has the same emotional impact as jazz.
That is true. That
yes,
is true. That indeed is
yes,
true.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there are parallel sort of ways in which one does music. There is a kind of inevitability about it, and a commitment in emotion, which is very close to what flamenco also does. And there are parallels, definitely.
Now, you, of course, started as a, I guess, as a guitarist. I mean, this was the first thing that you did, but you have gotten through the years into such in productions of shows, basically, that of course include the dancers and as well the singers.
Yeah.
Now, what you'll be doing here at the Kimmel Center will be a production with dancers. Is that right?
Oh, it is. Yes, indeed. Yes. The thing is, actually, it's like this is the way I grew up. Really, I grew up accompanying singers, but particularly,
yes,
and also dancers, and in a way that was what I was from my childhood. Eventually, I became a soloist, and that was, you know, that helped me establish myself in a way. But my first love, really, is the other. It's like
it's the whole company doing
yeah,
it,
exactly,
yes,
participating
yes.
In this
right.
In this creation, which is among the different elements.
Well, I think that's what we think of as flamenco. As a matter of fact, the novice thinks of flamenco as the dancing. But of course, when you begin to investigate the art altogether, it's a whole, it's a cohesive group that plays and sings and dances together.
Absolutely, it's like everybody's trying to create the same work of art, if you like, if you want to call it that way. But in collaboration, you know, one will inspire the other with whatever that person does, and the other one will respond, inspiring the other one back, if you know what I mean.
Is there a lot of improvisation in a performance?
There is indeed, yes, there is. And that is why, you see, the obviously the rules are very strict in terms of rhythm and
yes.
what the harmonies are and so on, but there is a great deal of scope for people to do their own thing as they go, and that means that you can actually surprise others by what you do, and that means the others get inspired and spurred to do something else.
Well,
you know?
It's the same. It's typically, that would be something like jazz, I guess,
indeed.
So much. But the rhythm is terribly strong, and there are specific, I guess, classical, what is the word that I want? They're classical rules of playing certain types of flamenco songs, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. For example, the show that I bring now is called A Compás, and compás...
it's rhythm, isn't it?
It's rhythm, yeah. Really, but compás is more than rhythm. It's actually... it's each flamenco form, or you know, flamenco forms, they have a structure which is rhythmical, and there is a number of beats, the beats is a number, but within those beats there is a pattern of accentuations
uh-huh.
which are particular to that particular form, that style, and that also carries a harmonic
chordal
development,
yeah.
You know, the chords
yes.
that fall in particular beats and so on,
mm-hmm.
and that is the compás. So the compás is not only rhythm, but it is also the structure that rules that particular piece that you're playing. So So obviously, those are the rules. And when you say there are classical rules, indeed there are, and they're very strict because yes. flamenco rhythms are very sharp and very, you know, split second. You know, they're very. It relies very strongly
on the beat,
in the rhythm.
Yeah.
So those rules have to be respected. And curiously, I call the show a compás because that is yet another meaning. To be a compás, that means really swinging into that particular structure in a natural way, with it, expressing within that structure.
Right.
And that means, you know, when jazz people or blues people, they cry out or they say something
yes.
because they have enjoyed
moved.
What somebody has
yes.
done.
Yes, of course.
Because that is swing in the air.
Right, it's they
but
get
that
it.
Is being a compás.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, oh, absolutely.
So the rhythm and the compás is paramount, is one of the paramount ideas in flamenco that requires great attention and great expression within it.
Yes, and again, it's so much an element of art, of all, and of course of all music. I really, really think so. But again, now you teach flamenco guitar, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Are you the first teacher of flamenco guitar? Actually, I heard that is it in the Netherlands that you teach?
Yes, that's
well?
Right. Yes. Yes. I have a post in the Conservatory of Rotterdam in
oh,
the Netherlands.
Oh, my.
And, I mean, I only teach there because, you know, that's all I can do. But I actually enjoy it because it's kind of a project. It's a challenge. It's a project as well in the sense that when I see people around me, around the world, who are interested in my culture, to the extent that they want to really go into it, I'm moved and interested in them. You know, so I am delighted if I can contribute to their development within, you know, to come closer to my culture. I'm delighted, and that is why that project in the Netherlands was actually. For me, it was moving and interesting when I started, and I still enjoy it.
Well, it's certainly unique because I think one always perceives flamenco as something that one, as you did, grow up with the master. It's kind of like you apprentice with the master from a very young age, and you learn the language of flamenco. I think that's the way it's perceived, that you don't go to school and learn flamenco. You know what I mean?
You are completely right. The point is, in a way, it's a paradox that one goes to teach this music in a conservatory. You are completely right. That is the most natural and indeed the best way to get there. But the point is that that would be the best situation. But if people don't have that possibility, it is also. It's a kind of compromise that you must come to. You must give them first-hand information coming from that atmosphere that you have described.
Yes.
So first-hand information is absolutely essential. But also, they must have talent to appreciate, those ingredients, appreciate them well, and be able to develop with them. And that is what we look for. So, in fact, I teach. I'm very strict with you know, being orthodox, being true to those things that you so clearly appreciate in the music.
Mm.
And also, I encourage all the students to go to Spain whenever they can. And also, indeed, I bring singers from Spain and dancers from Spain to actually join in with the students. To make sure that they have the challenge to accompany these people, which is the way I learned, you know, when I was growing
up. Of course, and also the inspiration. I think when you work with the other elements, it's really it affects the way you play
yes.
and learn. And the other thing I will say is, from what I have read, that Andalusia, I guess, is the place that you have to be from to really be authentically good at flamenco. Don't they adopt that?
I suppose. I can't deny that really, but on the other hand, I like to be positive, and I think it's a matter. It's not a matter of blood, but it's definitely a matter of culture. You know, as you point out, culture and the environment in which you are and live and grow. So So that is definitely true, but there is also the element of how much people, how much talent people have, mm-hmm. and how early they start. You see, if you grow up in Andalusia, whether you are from Finland or from United States, it really doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. you are growing up where it matters, you know, where the music lives.
Yes.
But if you don't, if you're not that lucky in that respect, then the sooner you start, the better. The sooner you are there, the better. So it's a matter of degree of how talented you are and how much opportunity you have to experience firsthand, you know, elements of flamenco.
Is there a lot of gypsy influence in?
There is indeed. There is indeed. You see, Andalusia is a great mixture of, you know, I wouldn't say racial elements, because that's not really the point, but cultural
elements. Yeah.
You know, it's culture. Many cultures have come there at different times in history, and that includes Arabs, Jews, includes gypsies as well. And the gypsies have a special moment in the history of flamenco, mm-hmm. in which there was turmoil, there was war and discrimination, and all kinds of things happening in Spain. And in Andalusia, with the mixtures of eastern elements of the Mediterranean, like Arabs and Jews and so on, mm-hmm. plus gypsies arriving from wherever they came from, in fact, that is a very spicy situation for the creation of, you know, the music with pathos, with expression,
yes.
intense expression.
Is there an Oriental influence as well?
There is indeed, yes, because of what I say. You know, the Eastern Mediterranean has provided a lot of the ancient cultures that have been into Spain, you know.
Yes.
And so one cannot deny that.
And the dancing, I mean, is that's so much a part of it. How you don't really find that in a lot of other music of European mixture and so on and so forth and Middle Eastern, but the dancing is so imperative in flamenco as well as a component that's an interesting kind of.
Yes. It is very vibrant. It's in a way, it's like the whole character of the land in terms of what people do. You know, bullfighting and flamenco.
Yeah, the macho.
I don't know about that, but no, but the lady, the
they're
woman
wonderful,
has a very strong forum, a very strong presence in this world.
Oh yes, yes.
And curiously, I'll tell you something. Even though flamenco dancing is very, how can I put it? It's sort of sensual.
Yes.
In fact, if you watch the best dancers, you'll see that they actually never touch. It's not sexual.
No.
I mean, of course, it is sexual because we are all sexual animals. But actually, there is a great dignity and respect as the dance is done. In fact, you get very close to the partner, but you actually don't hold
touch,
the partner.
Right.
You don't touch really. So in that sense, it is sensual and it's got sexuality in that, but it's not overt and it's not.
It's very. There's a noble quality about it too. I mean, the stance and of course the gestures of the hands and so on.
Yes.
Very, very,
yes.
Very subtle. Now you also wrote a mass. Is that right? At some point.
Yes. Yes.
How?
Yes.
Tell us about that a little.
Yes. The thing is that. Obviously, I love music in many different forms, and I've been connected with classical music as well quite strongly. Having performed in so many places, once I was asked, could I do a religious work in flamenco? And I found myself sort of trepidating it a little bit and sort of interested, but thinking, what shall I do? So, in fact, I decided I was going to do a mass because the... I don't know, but flamenco has a kind of spiritual connection to intangible things.
Yeah.
And the flamenco singer is alone, just projecting his or her emotions to nothing, to the air, or to God, or to you. It's a very spiritual.
Yes.
When I say very, it's not very, but you could interpret it as a spiritual happening. You know, mm-hmm. emotion. So I thought there is some connection between that and the message of the Christian Mass. So I wrote a Mass that incorporated classical elements in the form of a choir. And it was a bit of an expedition that I took. But it was nice because, it was nice. I say I'm not praising my work, but it was very nice because it led me in a territory which was fulfilling and in the end gave me great satisfaction in discovering how, no matter what elements are present in a musical creation, actually sincerity and truth will allow them to mix happily. And I think that's what happened with that work. I certainly feel
the wonder of music. It is, I think,
the wonder of music.
The wonder of music. It's amazing. Is that available, or do you ever perform that?
Yes, of course. Yes, it is available. I did a recording all those years ago, and sometimes I still perform that work. But lately, I have written another similar work because I don't mind telling you. Actually, many, many people have asked me to please do something else because they liked it.
Yes.
To do something else, in that line, and I mostly refused. But just now, I have written a Requiem, which is actually a bigger piece than that. But it's, it's combining those elements. And I call it the Requiem for the Earth because of the situation we are now living in the planet. And so that is in the process of being put out on a record. It's practically finished now.
Yes. When will that be released? Do you have any idea?
I don't actually know the date precise, but it will be soon. It's a matter of weeks. I'm looking forward to that because that, when you do something like that, you also, it's a draining experience.
Oh, yes. It's very emotional. But, there is a Mass that was written by an Argentinian by the name of Ariel Ramirez, the Misa Criolla.
Of course, yes, I do.
And I think when I hear what you're talking about, I would imagine the elements are, there must be something in this that's very similar because, again, it's music played on basic instruments, folk instruments. So I think that it just works. I mean, it really does. And I look forward to hearing more about that, and perhaps we can get it here at the station and play it.
Right, okay.
Anything else on the horizon other than your wonderful appearance here at the Kimmel Center this week?
In fact, it's part of a tour, which I'm delighted to say. It takes me to different states and to Canada. So I will be there for a while across the Atlantic. And, it's a nice, obviously a nice situation. After that, I have many other trips to make. I go to Italy, I go to Croatia, to the Middle East, a few places that I have to go to, Australia and South Africa.
Will this be the same show?
It is the same show, yes. Thankfully, because at the moment I'm in the process of preparing another show for the Edinburgh Festival this year. But that will be when I change the show. But for the moment, I travel with this particular one.
Your work is heard in very interesting company. I mean, you start with a very basic, humble performance up to the Royal Albert Hall and Edinburgh Festival. So I think you've gone up the scale all the way.
Well, it's nice of you to say. Indeed, I love what I do, and I think the music that I represent has acquired a very significant recognition and status. I don't mean status but recognition around the world. And I think really it is natural that it will go to these forums that you say.
And of course, in terms of excellence, that there is no question. So thank you so much for your time. Really, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And once again, we all look forward to this performance at the Kimmel Center.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye-bye.